Hi everyone. So just to carry on to basically like on the last episode, it kind of carries on to this topic, which is about the downsides and upsides of being a content creator, as well as what the K-pop community is truly like and what my experience of it has been. So to start, I will say content creation was never on the cards for me. Like, my bag was always, I'm in hospitality, I'm a bartender, I can host, I want to be like a bar supervisor or, you know, a general manager of somewhere. Actually, a big dream of mine for a long time was, I want to open a bar, which is how I ended up doing K-pop nights, because I think my plan was going to be, okay, if I open a K-pop bar, that could kind of eat. If, you know, after I've done a few music nights and blah, 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 that was a dream for then. Only to now realize, wow. Jesus. This is, sorry, they're drilling outside. Oh my God. And there's nothing I can do about that. Sorry, guys. Yeah, only to come and realize that working hard in that way was just not my destiny. So the joke, I always used to make jokes as well, like, oh, welcome to my channel. Like, I never used to take it seriously. Okay, now I need to wait. So yeah, it used to be just a joke to me, like, oh, welcome to my channel. And I never used to think of it as a career. And I was so happy to just do my hospitality thing. But obviously, COVID took me and many people out of that. I think there's been probably the greatest rise in content creators ever since COVID, especially because people then realize we don't have to go to work 5 times a week. You don't have to be part of this rat race. You can actually just live life. And if you need to work, work part-time. So I eventually, you know, fell into YouTube and all these things and started work, you know, started filming. But for the most part, it was never about it being my full-time job. I just love showing people music. I love experiencing music with people. That's the core being and my obsession ever since, I don't know, a very long time. I've always been like that. So it was natural to me. And it's only why I'll do it for a very long time, because the money is just a beautiful bonus. The main core thing really is the music and the sharing of music and the connecting over music. That will never get old for me. I love it so much. So that's kind of how I fell into it. And then a couple years in, I was still working part-time bartending, because obviously with COVID, I was like, I'll just work 2 days a week. Let me just do that. So, and I wanted an excuse to leave the house, to be honest, because it got to a point where when you are, so some of the downsides are you have to make things work. Not all of us have the funds on the side to be like, oh yeah, let me rent out a place to film and do this. So if you lot know from the start of my channel, people used to film, you wouldn't know this because everyone, I made it look good, but people used to sit on a beanie bag in my bedroom, and the backdrop was my wardrobe, which is painted, spray painted it black way prior, because I like the aesthetic. And it happened to work really well. I had a small ring light that did the job. I don't even know when I bought my first like 18-inch ring light. I used to have a small ring light that was close to the people's face and they used to hold the iPad, and they'd even the iPad would be screen recording the reaction, and then I would tell them not to like pause or anything, because when you pause, sometimes it messed up the screen recording. Oh honey, we started from far. So going back to the downsides, when you are working where you rest, where you have fun, where you relax or whatever, it can get a bit cabin fever-esque. And being that everyone was, you know, coming into my room and I'm in my room, and then also when they're gone, I'm still in the room. It can get a little bit, it's overwhelming sometimes. I do think it is a good thing to be able to leave your house to commute to work, to get a different energy. And also on your commute back, you can unwind and leave work behind. Now, as a content creator, when you are in the same space that you're resting, there's no commute, you're not leaving the house, you end up feeling a little bit like, this is a lot. Your brain never turns off, because then if you get to 10 p.m., you're like, maybe if I film one more thing, and you have this guilt because the ring light, everything is still there. You have access to it 24/7. So then how dare you rest? How dare you not make more content? So I was then motivated to kind of find a part-time job because of that. I'd missed having people, just in interacting with people really and truly. So I got a part-time job. I was bartending, doing all these things. I was a bar supervisor, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually it got to the point where I was earning enough to be like, no, do you know what? I don't need this anymore. And then I left that job in August 2023, and I've been doing this full-time since then. So the upside is the fact that when you do really love this thing, you can definitely earn enough that it's so surreal that you're free to do as you like. I can travel and still work and do my reactions and do all that, which is an amazing thing to have, and I do not take it for granted. Hence why me and my community, like, we really, you know, we're tight and we talk all the time. Not to say that, no, fuck that disclaimer, you lot can figure out what I'm disclaiming. But so going back to the downsides, I think it's so hard to establish a balance in a career that's still very new. Everyone else who has a 9-to-5 and all these systems that are super capitalistic and have been around for decades, you can understand your parameters. You have Monday to Friday, you have a lunch break, you finish work here, you have the weekends off, and then you start again. As a content creator, establishing some sort of schedule which is healthy is so impossible, because there's no one to push you. So even for me, when I know I have to do certain things, I'm still in bed looking at the ring light, being like, boy, get up. But really and truly, there's no consequence. There's no manager that's going to tell me off and say, oh my God, why haven't you done this yet? Because I'm my own boss. It's the biggest gift yet. It can be a curse as well, especially when you're someone who, my self-motivation is good, but I can also talk myself out of everything, anything, very quickly. The second I feel is hard work, I can be like, okay, no, let's not do it. And that's what I do a lot of the time. And it's something that a lot of content creators do struggle with, is that motivation, because algorithms are never full. They want you to keep feeding them every day if you want. So if you think about it this way, I've been working nonstop pretty much for 5 years, and I will probably say I've had in total times when I've not filmed at all, if I was to group all the hours together, maybe you'd have 2 or 3 months of like, I didn't film, or I didn't edit, or I didn't, yeah, anything work related. Maybe 6 months if I'm being real. But for a lot of those times, you are filming, you're engaging. And the game, engaging isn't part of the work per se, but in ways it is, because some things that you deal with when you're talking with people, especially the negative comments, that is impacting you. It's like reading an email when you're not at work. You're thinking about that email still. So, and I spend so much time on those comments and interacting with people that in a way it kind of is work, even though I enjoy doing it and I can't help myself from doing it. So so in terms of the content creation stuff, for people who are curious about how all this is like as well, obviously for a lot of reactors, we don't make money from YouTube because we're reacting to copyrighted materials. Hence why everyone has a Patreon, because that's kind of the best way to earn your money. Without it, we wouldn't really we'd be earning diddly squat, probably get like 30 or 40 pounds every 2 months from YouTube. So Patreon is the way to go. And I established my Patreon quite early on as well, actually. Jeff was kind of advising me on it as well. And that helped me eventually, you know, get to a point where I didn't have to work anymore. And also, in terms of some things that you guys might not be aware of as well, you know, in the YouTube, in the back of the interface, how it presents the statistics is very, it can impact you mentally, and it used to for a while. I've not had this for probably 2 years now, because I finally reached a point, maybe, yeah, 2 years. I've reached a point where I just love things, so it doesn't impact me. But initially, in those first 3 years, let me explain this. So when you upload a video, when you're starting off, you don't see this yet. But after about 6 months, YouTube now knows your average view count and your average watch count and your average watch hours and your average subscriber growth every day or every month or whatever. So what it does, next to the number, it will place either a green tick with a green circle around it, which means your average, or a see-through pointing up tick, which is green, or a down arrow that's gray. Now think about what that feels like. You're uploading content and you're getting the green, because obviously when you're starting off, everything is green, especially if you're starting off and doing well and you're getting views. Your averages, everything's going to be pointing up because you're a new channel. There's nothing to compare it with. After like a year and a bit, now you're not performing as high, or you've got now realistic averages and you're getting the green. It's like, okay, I should do better. And then when you have a slump and then you're seeing all these grays and gray arrows and grays, that will really fuck you up. And that will make you feel this added pressure and guilt of like, I need to do more content. And I think that used to really get to me. And I would just be like, oh my God, like whatever. And especially around 2022, yes, when I turned 30, at the end of 2021, even going into 2022, I was in such a bad space mentally. Like I really, and it wasn't just because of YouTube, to be honest, that was because of even just life in general. And to anyone who's does struggle with their mental health, and if you've ever suffered from like suicidal ideation or anything like that, which I definitely did around that time, it would have been such a shame if I'd done anything like that at that time, considering how magical my life is now, or how it has been for the last year and a half. So in essence, you cannot make a permanent decision based on temporary issues. Like, please, honestly, we're all going to die anyway. Why cut it short? It's such a simple thing. I know it can be hard, and some things do feel out of our control, and there's nothing I can say about that. But for the majority who it is within your control, maybe you're feeling a little bit apprehensive about doing something, and you're holding back and you feel tied down to pay money for this, or you're looking after people. Like I said in the previous episode, please be more selfish. The world needs more selfish people who are selfish in a healthy way without ego, because you'd be a better human being for it. So yeah, stay. We want you here. So at that time, everything was sort of mentally impacting me. And it didn't help that my channel was based on having to rely on others to help me make content. Luckily, I've never run out of people to film, and I've got the most amazing people who have supported me, because I'm an amazing person as well. But it can be frustrating when you're trying to get this content out that you know will do well, especially with dancers, because K-pop is so dance focused. Dancers always bring in a lot of views, but then someone's delayed, or someone doesn't tell you they can't make it anymore, or they're 3 hours late and they don't say anything, but you can't really say much because you're like, I'm not paying you, so you're doing me a favor, you know. But now I've reached a point where I want to pay people and reward them and give them as a thank you. So I do that now. But back then when I didn't have much, it was like, you're kind of stuck in this spot of like, like whatever. And for me, I know I'm a great reactor, but my premise was always about people who don't know much and getting that sweet first reaction. Because I've always wondered, you know, had I filmed myself when I was discovering BTS, I probably would have 400,000 subscribers right now, because I was so enamored. My energy was just so like, you know. But it's fine. Everything happens the way it's meant to. And chasing subscribers is not anything, because my Patreon is very successful and I do that amazingly well. So sometimes you shouldn't really focus on the numbers, which is another thing a lot of content creators get stuck on is the numbers, and you forget why you're doing this in the first place. Once I got over that slump, but yeah, going back to my other point, it's like in those first 3 years, those numbers and those arrows and those signifiers of how well you're doing were an obsession of mine. I wanted to be always performing. I wanted to always hit 1 million views a month, and I wanted to do this and do that. But now I just coast and I can ride the wave because my Patreon content, there's so much there. It doesn't really affect my money, how the YouTube is doing. I'm not as stressed by it. And I always know there's going to be great content coming, and I'm always going to get people to film who are going to enjoy it, X, Y, and Z. So that is pretty much the full scope of what it's like being a content creator for people who don't know. Obviously, everyone's experience is different, but that's been my experience. And I've grown into a spot where, especially in the last year and a half, where I'm in love with everything that I do and I'm obsessed with what I do. And I wouldn't want to change it for the world. Now, to go into the K-pop community, I think the K-pop community gets a bad rep, firstly, because I always say this, football fans sometimes kill each other. And not only that, they vandalize the city when they win. And this is even American football or any kind of sports thing. Things that are male-focused somehow get away with the worst. Meanwhile, things that are focused towards women or even femme or queer people is somehow made fun of or demonized. It's like, oh, look how bad this is. But you football fans do the worst things out there and no one ever calls you out for it. So this is your call out. But yes, there are definitely some K-pop fans who take it too far. They take it too far, even with the idols that they love. Oh my God. Like, for example, some people will know this, there's one of the biggest groups that pioneered the way, TVXQ, SM group, 5 members, 5 guys, amazing singers, dancers, whatever. They're called Sasangs. That's what they call them in South Korea, which is an obsessed fan. Jae Jung, who is just a revolutionary idol, he had a female fan sneak into his house when he was sleeping and take a picture of him as he was sleeping and send it to him. Like, that is crazy. And obviously he tried to report it to the police, but they don't take it seriously because they're like, it's a female fan, you should be grateful. It's so insane. And then also, and that's how crazy how misogyny is. Misogyny is so wild that a woman being a threat is just not perceived as a thing. So that's why men should absolutely care about misogyny, because it affects you too. Because when a woman harms you, people should take it seriously, not laugh at it. So anyway, yeah. And then another member, you know, he had a Sasang put glue in his orange juice. Until now, he doesn't drink orange juice from what I remember, because he was so traumatized. So yes, those are the extremes of how the K-pop community can be. And also there's, of course, the doxing. If you say something crazy, they will try and find your address. But once again, this is not unique to K-pop. This happens with Taylor Swift fans or the Beehive or Barbs. Barbs terrify me. So it's nothing specific to the K-pop community, really. And it might sound crazy to say, because I've had my tussles. Oh, baby. I've had my tussles with the comment section of my channel and some really rude, like, insane things. Something I do want to add, actually, now this is the next day and I completely forgot about how much this happens, which can be frustrating when it comes to comments and dealing with that as a content creator, especially as a K-pop reactor. People have this weird thing where they think they're going to have a gotcha moment with me. And it's like, no, I said what I said. They go and go, oh, Micah said this about so-and-so and he hates them. Firstly, I don't have energy to hate any idol. I really don't, because I don't know them and you don't know them either. So this whole thing of like, you think when I say something negative, and I will say negative things about people because that's the reality, you lot are all pretending you've never felt negatively towards anyone. So when someone says something negative, you think now is your chance to be like, oh, look, he's saying something negative. He hates them. I don't hate them. I just might feel negative about them that day. It's not personal. I don't know who they are as people. I'm just commenting on how they are as artists. And you all do that. So why do you act as though you don't have complex feelings around idols as well? Do you know what? Maybe you don't. Maybe that's why you can't perceive it that way when it's coming from someone like me, because I can say, I don't like how he performs. I don't like him in that lineup. I don't like her vocals there. I don't think that works. I can say that whilst in a couple months' time, they could improve. And I'll be like, oh my God, I love this, because I'm a normal human being. It's not hate. And people need to grow that. And it definitely, maybe because other people are hateful. So, and people online have that perception where they assume everyone who's doing this is malicious or they're lying and they're pretending. I'm like, I am too honest to try and pretend otherwise. So, but I understand some people are like that. I'm simply not. So it's really not, it doesn't go like that with me, but I had to get that off my chest because it's really fucking annoying. Like, stop wasting your time trying to be like, oh, we're going to get him today or get him to apologize. Apologize for what and to who? For what? For what I feel? Man, fuck off. And I think also another thing is, some creators, every creator is different. You either are someone who is super involved with comments, with your community, and some people aren't, and it's just, they just, that's just naturally how you are. In some cases, some people, it's just purely an egotistical thing, but that's neither here nor there because we don't know what people's motivations are. But I will say that for me as a creator, it's natural to me to be super engaged in everything, in comments and writing back. And that has its, you know, pluses and minuses. On the plus side, I've really formed a community where, like I've mentioned, you know, I know everyone and I know my regulars and people feel connected to me. But the negative is you can then also take things a lot more personally because you are so emotionally involved. So sometimes when I see a comment that's really irritating, most of the time I'm frustrated because I just feel a sense of being misunderstood. As much as you're trying to be as succinct and clear as possible, people are so suspicious of people that they see online. So no matter how well you think you're convicting your point, and I think I've still done a pretty great job overall of being very clear in how I speak and my points, and I think people do know me quite well now, every now and then, and all it takes is one comment that's just going to make you feel like, why don't you understand what I'm saying? And most of the times I get angry out of frustration of like, come and say this to my face because you're feeling brave now, but you want to just attack me and misunderstand me because that's your goal. You're not willing to understand me. That's where I get the frustration from because I am so involved. I just want everyone to understand what I'm saying. It would be great if people were disagreeing with a thing of merit or out of basis of something that is actually, you know, that makes sense. That I can be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out that. That makes sense. Like, I'm happy to be corrected. But most of the times, people come with the most frivolous, annoying things like, oh, why don't you like that? Didn't you know one of the members wrote it? I don't care if Beyonce wrote it. I don't like what I don't like. That just makes no sense to me. That you came to hear my opinion and you're vexed about it. Anyway, I think that is something that every creator should also consider when you are getting into this thing. It's like, how involved am I going to be? And to be honest, you don't have a choice. I think you either are involved or you're not. It just happens naturally. It kind of chooses you how you proceed in that kind of world of engagement. However, I would say there's so much more good than bad because it really is a community of misfits and a community of people who may not be as cool or as accepted conventionally anywhere else. Same thing with people that are into anime and who want to wear costumes. It's something that can be seen as nerdy. It's like, oh. But I find that there's a lot more collective support than anything. Even when it was during Black Lives Matter, it was the K-pop fans sending like fan cams to the police emails that were trying to find people at the protest, arranging money and, you know, all these kind of things and disrupting the hashtags on Twitter. So there's also that beauty of community. And even for me, I think my community is the best community in the K-pop sphere, from my Discord to my Patreon, and even to when I was on YouTube, when I was on live all the time, like I had the same regulars and so many, like I've got at least 100 people that I remember personally what their names are, where they live, you know, what they're into, what they've said to me before. Like, you know, we're really connected in that way. That is just, it's so beautiful to have, as someone who, I guess I've always wanted a community, and it's really why I take it so seriously. There's been a lot of, and it's also helped my, the greatest thing to round this all off as well, my self-esteem and who I am off camera has blossomed through having this community and being a content creator, because I've actualized a vision that was in my mind publicly, and it's become successful. Nothing validates your sense of self more than that. To think, ah, something I love and something that I want done the way I've done it has resonated so well. That just makes you so confident. And it's also opened my eyes to when other people want to do the same thing, I know how to advise them if I can see that it's something that they should be doing or it's something they shouldn't be doing, because I understand the unwritten motive of, you either have this thing that's going to make it successful or not, because it's not something you should do half-heartedly. And you, and people always say this, it's not something you should do for the money. And probably how I feel about this podcast as well, just expanding every after I post every during the week, I'm like, should I carry on doing this thing? Because it doesn't feel, it's such a new thing, and it's still a bit like, I don't know, is this serving a purpose? Am I just rambling? What am I doing? But once I start talking and once I'm here, it feels good. And I'm not putting too much pressure on it. If I was thinking of tossing around with the format of doing it as seasons, so one season is maybe 12 episodes, and then I take a break for 3 months, and then I do another season, you know, that could work instead of having filler episodes, you know. So yeah, I'm keeping my options open, but content creation and having a community that feeds into you, and a community that has, so many people have said, you know, your reactions, I'm looking forward to them, like I've been going through a tough time and you've done this for me. That sense of community is also what urges me to be like, let me just get up and film, because someone is waiting for this. Like, people are, and that's not even in an egotistical way, it genuinely is like, this little thing to me is so important. Little old me means that someone's day is a little bit better. So that stuff is irreplaceable, and it's such a, it's an honor to have so many people be so pulled in, and so they enjoy what you do so much. And you can't take that for granted. You have to, you can't take it for granted, but also you should take it in and be like, wow, I did that. I'm proud of myself. Like, I've done bits, and you can gain that. That's one of the things you can gain from putting yourself out there and taking those risks. Yes, there are negatives, but you also learn to deal with those. Your skin gets thicker. And also you realize some people are just having a bad day and they want to say something mean to someone that they think is not going to read it. Sometimes people come and apologize as well. I've had people be like, you know, I didn't like you at the start, but now I've come to respect you. I'm like, wow, thanks. But so many people are also not used to having that raw, authentic person. I can understand why people can be irked by that, because I'm like, no, I'm not going to change how I am. You need to see and hear the truth sometimes, because you're going to thank me for it in the future. Because once you've experienced authenticity, you don't want to look back to the fake shit. So all that is all part of the package. A lot of the negative comments also have put things into place. I don't get notifications of replies to my comments on my channel, because the more you engage, the more you get pulled and you're stuck in that. So I turn that off. So I might reply and cuss you back, but whatever you say after that, I never know. Sometimes I do go back and check, and rarely do they go, oh, do you know what? I see your point. No, they're saying something else, because they're projecting whatever in their life is making them unhappy onto me. So that cycle never ends. So yeah, to say it all, if anyone is ever thinking about doing content creation, this is the truth of what it can be like. But I do think the benefits outweigh the bad. Especially if you have the kind of personality that I have, where it's like, I'm speaking my truth. If my truth makes you uncomfortable, go and find a lie that's going to make you feel good. But you do need to have a strong sense of self. And remember that if you're doing it, you're doing it because you love what you're doing. That no one can shake that. Because as many bad comments as I can get, if I love the song, or if I love the artist, or if I love that, I'm still going to do it. Because that is what this is about. It's about what I love, not about your validation, you know? So yeah, that's been my experience of the K-pop community and the beautiful people that I've met, as well as I've traveled, people who have looked after me and be like, oh, let's do this. Like, it's been so beautiful. And my world has only gotten bigger and more beautiful because of it. So that's it. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think in the comments, and I'll see you next week. Mwah.